Iran summons Slovenia's ambassador in Tehran to protest the presence of the country's prime minister at the gathering of the MKO terror group. Palestinian foreign ministry urges the UN Security Council to oblige Israel to abide by international humanitarian laws regarding the situation in Gaza. And China says it will take the necessary measures to safeguard its legitimate rights and interests after the U.S. added 23 Chinese entities to an economic blacklist. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, Iran has summoned Slovenia's ambassador in Tehran to strongly protest the participation of the country's premier in a virtual meeting of the Mujahedin Haq organization terrorist group. Iran's foreign ministry condemned Prime Minister Janis Janson's anti-Iran remarks during the meeting as false, unacceptable, and undiplomatic. The ministry said supporting a terrorist grouping violates the UN Charter and international norms. The ministry had earlier called the meeting a circus. Tehran said the presence of figures like Jansa and former U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo there was shameful hypocrisy by the West. The three-day meeting began in Paris on Saturday. The MKO has killed thousands of Iranians in its assassination and bombing campaigns since the 1979 Islamic Revolution.
On Saturday, the Mujahedin Kalak organization terror group held a hybrid virtual and face-to-face meeting in Albania. Speakers joined via video conference from Europe and the US, and the terror group sympathizers held gatherings in some European cities. This is why the cult-like group had been on the EU and the US list of designated terror organizations for a long time. The speakers agreed with the MEK on two issues: further sanctions against Iran and no negotiations with the country. Mike Pompeo, former U.S. State Secretary under the Donald Trump administration, was the main speaker.
The program of sanctions and pressure employed by the Trump administration needs to remain the model for engagement with Iran if we want to ensure the security of the American people and better lives for the Iranian people. In Washington, D.C., there is much consensus, as evidenced by the overwhelming support for the sanctions regime that we put into place.
Other speakers at the conference also defended the hardline anti-Iran policy. Stephen Harper, former Canadian Prime Minister, called negotiations with the Iranian government shameful. He went on to advocate a normalization policy with Israel. Also, Franco Frattini, former European Commissioner and Foreign Minister under former Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi, rejected any negotiations with Tehran.
My colleagues in Europe should seriously consider not to sitting whatsoever around the same table with the Iranian dignitaries.
The huge red carpet and military salutes would make even some state presidents jealous. That begs the question, what is the terror group doing in Albania?
The Mujahideen have very good relations with senior officials of all three parties, with the Albanian Secret Service. They're probably corrupting the whole lot. They have very good relations, and they're allowed to keep this area in Manes, where no one is allowed to enter.
The MEK backed Iraq's former dictator Saddam Hussein during the 1980-1988 Iran-Iraq War. They were put on the list of terrorist organizations in 2000 and were declared persona non grata in Iraq in 2003. They then fled to Albania. Experts say that the MEK is a dangerous sectarian group that was on the list of terrorist organizations. So it's strange to hear all these speakers express their full support for this group. It only shows the double standards of the European Union when it comes to terrorist groups. Chris Den Hunt, Paris.
Palestinian Foreign Ministry has urged the United Nations Security Council to pressure Israel to abide by international laws. In a statement, the ministry condemned the continued blockade of the Gaza Strip, which has sabotaged the lives of over 2 million Palestinians. It said the Israeli siege on Gaza blocks efforts to stabilize the truce that ended the regime's 11-day deadly aggression on the coastal territory. Earlier, a UN official warned that the situation in the Gaza Strip is deteriorating at all levels. An increasing Israeli blockade will lead to a new round of violence. Israel has imposed a land, sea, and air blockade on the Strip since 2007. The UN has been asking for the lifting of the blockade for years. A senior member of the Palestinian Fatah movement has called for the expulsion of the United Arab Emirates from the Arab League over its normalization of ties with the Israeli regime. Abbas Zaki also called Abu Dhabi Crown Prince and the Deputy Military Chief of the UAE, Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan, a traitor. He warned that the UAE would be unable to stop the Zionist movement once it opens the door to award citizenship to Israelis. Zaki hailed the spirit of the Emirati people and said that they would never accept such a betrayal. He was reacting to a report that the UAE has granted citizenship to some 5,000 Israelis over the past 3 months. The UAE and some other Arab regimes normalized their ties with Israel, brokered by former U.S. President Donald Trump last year. The move was slammed by Muslims worldwide, with Palestinians calling it a stab in their back. Beijing has lashed out at the United States for blacklisting several more Chinese entities over alleged human rights abuses. In a statement, the Chinese Ministry of Commerce said Washington's addition of 23 Chinese entities to an economic blacklist amounts to serious breach of international economic and trade rules. The ministry added that the U.S.'s move is, quote, an unreasonable suppression of Chinese companies. It underlined that Beijing will take the necessary measures to safeguard China's legitimate rights and interests. Now, the development comes amid an ongoing trade war between the two countries, which have been at loggerheads over several issues, including tariffs on imports. Political commentator Andrew Leung believes the United States' anti-China policies show it is trying to turn itself into a global hegemonic power.
There is a great power, a rivalry, not only in trade, but in technology, on the ideology, on the military in the South China Sea, and on human rights, including Taiwan, Xinjiang, Hong Kong, and on values, democracy against so-called authoritarianism. So it's a great power rivalry across the board, 360 degrees. Now, this latest episode reflects in the eyes of Beijing and continuing inability for the United States to think outside the box, in the sense that somehow the United States still clings to its perception of world hegemony, as if it can call the shots on all matters and over all countries. But this the times have changed, in the sense that the American hegemony is in decline. Not that American power is in decline or its economy is in decline, but its hegemony is in decline, in the sense that it can no longer call the shots on everything. And it has got to share power with a rising China. Sooner rather than later, the Chinese economy is going to exceed the United States as the largest economy in the world.
Well, thousands of Bosnians have gathered at a cemetery to commemorate the 26th anniversary of the Srebrenica massacre. Ceremonies were followed by the reburial of 19 newly identified victims whose remains were found in mass graves. They were laid to rest at a memorial cemetery at the entrance to Srebrenica. Bosnian Serb forces systematically killed more than 8,000 Bosnian Muslim men and boys in 1995 after they captured the eastern town. It was the worst massacre on European soil since World War II and was deemed genocide by international tribunals. The killings took place under the order of Ratko Mladic, who was then leading Bosnian Serb forces. Mladic, known as the Butcher of Bosnia, was captured in 2011 after a decade on the run and has already been given a life sentence for his role in the massacre. On Wednesday, Haitian President Jovenel Moïse was shot dead at his private home on the outskirts of the capital, Port-au-Prince. by a group of trained foreign assassins. Haitian authorities identified 26 Colombians and 2 Haitian Americans involved in the assassination. Country's officials have yet to explain how the killers got past Moise's security or what their motive was.
Haiti's President Jovenel Moise was killed during an attack on his private residence in the capital of Port-au-Prince on early Wednesday. Haiti's First Lady was also wounded in the attack and evacuated to a hospital in Miami for treatment. She later accused enemies of sending mercenaries to kill the president and his family to thwart democratic changes in the country. That's why none of the Moise's guards were injured in the attack. Moreover, Haitian officials have not yet provided a motif for the assassination or explained how the killers got past Moise's security detail. Haitian police says they have identified 28 people in connection to the fatal shooting, of which 2 were U.S. citizens. The rest, all Colombian, remain at large. The Colombian Defense Ministry says initial findings suggest that several of the attackers have been retired members of the Colombian military. Colombian police have confirmed that 4 companies were involved in the assassination of the Haitian president. The companies recruited Colombian nationals who traveled to Haiti through the neighboring Dominican Republic. On the other hand, when pressed on reports that 2 Haitian Americans were involved with the assassination, the White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki declined to comment. This arouses suspicions about possible U.S. involvement. After all, the U.S. has a track record when it comes to these types of operations. In 2020, 2 U.S. citizens were arrested in Venezuela. The Venezuelan president, Nicolas Maduro, accused Washington of plotting to invade his country, overthrow, and assassinate him. Maduro claimed that the invaders were trained and funded by the U.S. and Colombia. Also, there was the infamous Bay of Pigs operation. 50 years ago, a group of some 1,500 Cuban exiles, trained and financed by the CIA, launched an ill-fated invasion of Cuba from the sea in the Bay of Pigs. The plan was to overthrow Fidel Castro and his revolution. Furthermore, the U.S. track record in Haiti speaks volumes in how the U.S. has treated the country. A simple history check reveals the deep U.S. involvement in this tiny island nation. In 1914, the U.S. sent Marines into Haiti. It gained complete control over Haitian finances and the right to intervene in Haiti whenever the U.S. government deemed necessary at the time. The U.S. government also forced the election of a new pro-American president by the Haitian legislature in August 1915. The selection of a president that did not represent the choice of the Haitian populace increased unrest in Haiti. Meanwhile, Haiti has been struggling with a wave of extreme violence, a growing humanitarian crisis, and a worsening coronavirus pandemic, and now the assassination of Moise has thrown the country into deeper turmoil as his death leaves a power vacuum.
However, we do know for sure the United States that this solves a lot of problems for the United States regarding its interest in Haiti and their support for Jovenel Moise and that administration. It was an untenable situation. They had already been supporting him through a very suspect, abolishing of the Constitution. He extended his term. Now he was ruling by decree, and they were about to force on the Haitian people another election and a new constitution under very, circumstances in which the Haitian people didn't want. Clearly, the masses of Haitian people were in the street.
Well, Haitian police have arrested 17 of a 28-member hit squad involved in the assassination of President Moise. A probe is underway to ascertain a possible U.S.-Colombia nexus in the killing. One of the American citizens once called Moise crazy and blamed his refusal to quit for the deterioration in Haiti. The question now is, who were the masterminds behind this assassination plot?
Haitian President Jovenel Moise's death has led to confusion about who is the legitimate person to lead the country of 11 million people. Claude Joseph, who had resigned as prime minister, took charge of the government and named himself acting president in the hours after the assassination. Ariel Henry, whom Moise had named prime minister but had not yet taken office, also claims he should be in charge. Furthermore, Joseph Lambert, who leads what remains of the Haitian Senate, joined two others seeking to rule the nation, announced that he was voted provisional president by his fellow senators Friday evening. With tensions high in the capital, crowds of people took to the streets Thursday night, burning cars and demanding justice. Meanwhile, the COVID-19 pandemic has been worsening in Haiti. According to the United Nations Children's Agency, Haiti was the only country in the Western Hemisphere to not have received a single dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. At the same time, according to the World Bank, the country is facing a dire economic situation. Its economy had shrunk further 3.8% in 2020, with about 60% of the population now living in poverty. Furthermore, according to UNICEF, more than 1.5 million children are currently in urgent need of humanitarian assistance in Haiti.
The United States is directly responsible for the situation, decidedly so. It's intentional to keep Haiti underdeveloped, to keep control of its resources and its labor and its markets under the control of foreign corporations.
With Haiti having a track record of interference from Western governments like the U.S. and France, it remains to be seen whether the country will be able to preserve any peace and stability as it goes through this transformation. Moïse's murder has prompted the government to call for U.S. and UN assistance. At this point, the U.S. has said it will only take necessary action to defend Americans and critical infrastructure.
And with that brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. Thank you all so much for staying with us.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Listeners Special. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this Sunday, July 11th, 2021. I'm Atefa Erfani, hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages from around the world. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcasts. Dear listeners, if you have any messages for different listeners around the world, then please record your voice, send it to us, and then get your voice heard. Please remember, Listeners Special, the Sunday program, is your program, dear listeners. It's your views that are important. And here, I, on behalf of my colleagues, do express my deepest condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Muhammad Taqi, the ninth infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Please stay with us. Welcome back, dear listeners. As usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. For your information, these reception reports are very important and very useful to us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. For your information, again, all of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us. And here I truly appreciate those of our dear listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Christer Bronstorm from Sweden, one of our regular listeners, Matto Holosi from Hungary, also one of our regular listeners, and the last but not the least is a reception report from Abed Hussein Sajed, one of our regular listeners from Pakistan. So Christer, Matto, and Abed Hussein, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. As usual, we have received many emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program, I will read their emails and letters. From Norway, we have an email from Radar Bo. Radar Bo is one of our regular listeners. From Chile, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, and that is Hector Fria Hofre. Sayed Abbas Taghi from Pakistan has sent us an email. From the UK, we have an email from Paul R. Newton. And as I said before, the last but not the least is an email from England. And this email is from Patrick Travers. Patrick Travers is one of our regular listeners who has sent us an email. Well, dear listeners of Listeners Special, after a short break, I will be back with these kind messages. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, your program, dear listeners. And as I said, we have received an email from Norway. This email is from Radar Bo. Radar Bo is one of our regular listeners who says, "Hello, thank you very much for the beautiful EQSL card. This was much appreciated. I'm sorry to hear that some packages have been rejected by the post office of a number of countries. But fortunately, they cannot stop emails or your shortwave transmissions. Best regards." Salam and warmest greetings to you, Radar Bo from Norway, one of our regular listeners, and many thanks for sending us this email. So, you like the EQSL card that my colleagues designed for you, and that's good news for us in IRIB English Radio, and especially Listeners Special. And what a pity. Those packages, as you mentioned, were rejected by the post office. And thanks for informing us about this trouble. And as you said, fortunately, the emails and shortwave transmissions cannot be stopped, fortunately. Thank you very much for sending us this email. Radar Bo from Norway, please. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Radar Bo from Norway. And from Chile, one of our regular listeners, Hector Fria Hofre, has sent us an email. Hector says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, I am pleased to send you a reception report of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm very happy with the current moment of the propagation, which allows us to listen to distant radio signals. I was happy listening to the Holy Quran verses from your radio, as I believe that the Quranic verses are universal. They are understood with the spirit. The signal itself is not very strong, which is logical. But the headphones, it is perfectly audible. I would like to receive information about your country. Best regards." Salam and warmest greetings to you, Hector Fria Hofer from Chile. And I do appreciate you for sending us this email. You just mentioned every detail about IRIB English Radio programs. And thank you very much for, briefing these things, including, as you said, you sent us a reception report about the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. Many thanks for your reception report. And you also mentioned that the signal was not very strong and it was logical, but you said with headphones it was perfectly audible. Of course, we will inform our technicians and engineers about the trouble you had about receiving the signal, but overall we are happy that you were successful in receiving our signals, the signals of IRIB English Radio in your country, in Chile. And you said you had the chance to listen to the verses of the Noble Quran. And it was great. And as you said, the verses of the Quran are universal and is for all the people around the world. And as you said, it can be understood with the spirit. So you mentioned that you like to receive information about Iran. Of course, we in IRIB English Radio broadcast many different programs about our country, about Iran. Of course, currently we are broadcasting different programs about Iran, and you can find the archive of these programs in our website at www.parstoday.com/en. These programs include Iranian Market, Iranian Notables, and also, of course, Close Up Iran. Close Up Iran is a program about tourist attractions of Iran, and there, of course, in our website and in the shortwave radio, you can find these programs and you can listen to them. Of course, there are different programs about our country, and as I said, the archive is available at our website. Anyway, Hector Friehofer from Chile, many thanks for writing this detailed email about IRIB English Radio programs. Write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you, Hector Friehofer. Well, dear listeners, we will be back after a short break. Welcome back to Listeners Special. As I said, from Pakistan, we have an email from Sayyid Abbas Taghi. Sayyid Abbas Taghi from Pakistan says, "Dear Sir or Madam, in the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting, I want to promote your service in my area. As you may know, Muzaffargarh is the city of listeners in Pakistan due to the number of radio listeners in this area. So do me a favor and post me some of your promotional materials along with few literatures. Thank you. First of all, salam and warmest greetings to you from Iran to Pakistan and to Sayyid Abbas Taghi, one of our listeners who has, I do apologize for my voice. So Sayyid Abbas Taghi has received our signals in his country, in Pakistan, and in his area. And he said his area is called Muzaffargarh, which is his area is called the City of Listeners. That's great. Muzaffargarh is the City of Listeners in Pakistan, and that is because the number of radio listeners in this area. That's great. I didn't know about that. Great information. So in your area, Muzaffargarh, there are so many radio listeners. That's great. Of course, Sayyid Abbas Taghi, we will send you an EQSL card, and we will send you promotional materials and souvenirs of IRIB English Radio if available, and if the health protocols regarding the post office let us do so. Thank you very much for sending us this message. Sayyid Abbas Taghi from Pakistan, send our, regards to your fellow countrymen, and the listeners in your area. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon and receiving your views about the broadcast of IRIB English Radio. Many thanks. And from the UK, as I said, we have an email from Paul R. Newton. Paul is one of our regular listeners who says, "Dear Sir or Madam at IRIB English Radio, I heard your broadcast at 1945 UTC last night. On looking this morning in my IRTH 2021, I wasn't sure if it was Iran. I was using a frequency of about 6035 kilohertz. It kept changing slightly by about 5 kilohertz due to interference. Sound kept coming and going. I haven't heard shortwave radio for a while. I have already written to and heard in the last couple of days Romania, Turkey, Italy, and China, and I hope I can receive a QSL card or an EQSL from IRIB English Radio. Thank you in advance." Well, salam and greetings to you, Paul R. Newton from the UK, and deep thanks to you for writing us this detailed information and email. So you heard our broadcast recently, and it's good news for us. And also you mentioned that you had trouble in the sound. As you said, it was coming and going. It was because of the interference, and we will inform our engineers and technicians about this problem. We hope that this problem fades very soon. And of course, you said you listened to different radio stations during the last couple of days, different radio stations in Romania, Turkey, Italy, and China. That's great. And now you are listening to IRIB English Radio from Iran, and of course my colleagues will send you an EQSL card, and if available, the souvenirs of IRIB English Radio. Paul R. Newton from the UK, write to us soon and tell us your views about different programs of IRIB English Radio. Many thanks. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with the rest of the emails and letters from around the world. Welcome back from England. We have an email from Patrick Travers. Patrick is one of our regular listeners who says, "Dear friends, I found listening to your English broadcast this evening very informative and enjoyable. I would be very interested in learning more about your broadcast, and I would welcome any information, including frequency schedule, etc. Please, will you send a program schedule and pennant or any other publicity manual? Thank you." First of all, salam and warmest greetings to you, Patrick Travers from England, and many thanks for writing this email to us. We are so happy that you found IRIB English Radio broadcast, as you described, very informative and enjoyable. That's good news. And about your request about sending you frequency schedules and program schedule, you can refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/yen, and there you can find our frequency schedule and program schedule. And of course, my colleagues will, as soon as possible, send you an EQSL card and the souvenirs of IRIB English Radio if available, and if the health protocols of post office let us do that. Patrick Travers from England, many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio, and listeners special, write to us soon. We wish you all the best. We are looking forward to hearing from you. Well, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with you. And now, dear listeners of Listeners Special on IRIB English Radio, here again, I do express my deepest condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Muhammad Taqi, the ninth infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. We wish you all the best. Many thanks for being with us and goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خداست، ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth. Allah ya Allah subhanallah. Allah ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allah wa la ilaha
I invite you to listen to a short part of the book Sirru Salat, The Secret of Prayer, written by Imam Khomeini. Some discipline and secrets of takbirs and the eradication of hands. Thus you, the spiritual wayfarer and the fighter on Allah's way, when you decide to stand before the Allah's presence and the purification of intention and the heart, then having entered within the people of faithful ones, prepare yourself for being present at His presence and ask for knocking, leave the nature abode for removing the thick veil through appealing to the divine stage. And then through your hands behind. Your hands behind while calling Takbir. Enter the further veil and pass the third veil in the same way till you get to the favorite destination. Stop and read this supplication. O God, Thou art the King of hidden and visible.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today we are with another episode of Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio. And I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the religion of Islam. Imam Khomeini, in one of his sayings, he says that I advise you not to part ways with Islam. Do not separate your path from that of the clergy. Do not lose this divine power, this power of the clergy, which is a divine power. And also he mentions that this great bastion of Islam and this bastion, the clergy, are both despised by the foreigners.
Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum.
Why the foreigners, they do not like Islam and the clergy? It's because they know that the Islam is the religion of justice, and the clergy shows us the way how to move towards the justice, how to apply justice in this world. And that's why these both things are despised by the foreigners, by the enemies. If we want to have success in our life, if we want to have Islam in our life, if we want justice, freedom, and independence, then we need to follow the path of Islam. We need to follow the path of the clergy. And this is what Imam Khomeini is saying, because the clergy, the power of the clergy, which is the divine power, which is the divine power, it has been taken its power from the Quran, from the Ahlul Bayt, and that's what we need to actually follow, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Opinion polls show 50% of the British public want coronavirus rules to stay in place, as UK mayors urge face masks on public transport. We're prepared for you an article written jointly by Toby Helm and Michael Savage. The piece is titled Public Alarm Grows at Boris Johnson's Plan for COVID Freedom Day. The article has been published by the British newspaper The Guardian. Prime Minister Boris Johnson faces a growing revolt over plans to end most COVID restrictions on 19th of July, including the mandatory wearing of face masks on public transport and in hospitals, as half of the public now say they want Freedom Day to be delayed. Recently, as doctors and other NHS workers demanded that mask wearing continue in hospitals, regional political leaders broke ranks, saying they would override the national government on the issue, and strongly advise people to continue to wear face masks on public transport. Andy Burnham, Mayor of Greater Manchester, told The Observer that, with COVID cases rising rapidly again, Freedom Day risks becoming Anxiety Day for huge numbers of vulnerable people because the government was making unwise decisions. Andy Burnham, the mayor of Greater Manchester, said, "The government is simply wrong to frame everything from here as a matter of pure personal choice. It is not." Adding, "Many people who are vulnerable to the virus have to use public transport and do their food shopping in person. That is why the wearing of face mask coverings in these settings should have remained mandatory. I will be strongly encouraging the people of Greater Manchester to continue to wear face masks on public transport out of respect for others." The mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, is also involved in urgent talks with the government, Transport for London, TfL, private train operators and trade unions, as support grows for the wearing of face masks to remain mandatory on the capital's transport network. It is understood that Mayor Sadiq Khan believes keeping the face mask requirement for all transport modes would be the simplest and safest measure. He said recently that the use of face coverings reduces the spread of COVID and crucially gives Londoners confidence to travel on the network, which is vital for our economic recovery. Opinion poll for The Observer found that 73% of the British public now believe wearing face masks on public transport should continue, while 50% said that Freedom Day, when the vast majority of the other controls are due to end, should be pushed back again beyond 19th of July. This compared with just under a third, or 31%, who think the government should go ahead as planned. Only 10% of the British public think restrictions should have been lifted earlier. Prime Minister Boris Johnson and Health Secretary Sajid Javid are expected to confirm their plans for a mass lifting of government controls on Monday, 12th of July, ending social distancing, allowing all venues to open with no restrictions on numbers and drawing to a close the work from home if you can advice. Despite COVID infections having risen last days to their highest level since early February. But there are growing fears that the move will cause chaos and confusion and anger as more organizations and businesses go their own way and impose rules out of line with the new relaxed government regime. Recently, it emerged that several restaurants, chain stores and coffee shops were planning to insist on wearing of face masks and social distancing after 19th of July. Senior NHS figures are raising fears over the impact of ending the wearing of face masks in hospitals, saying it will mean more infections, including those among hospital staff, and worsen the backlog of non-COVID-related operations, which now stands at more than 5 million. Government officials are already examining whether fully vaccinated NHS workers should be allowed to avoid self-isolation to ease pressures. Sarah Jane Marsh, Chief Executive of Birmingham's Women's and Children's NHS Trust, who served as Director of Testing at the government's Test and Trace programme, said, "We're all worrying about how we will ensure members of the public wear any masks at all on our sites post-19th of July. We're already facing huge challenges with adherence and have no real means of enforcing it. It's a legal requirement now, but people are increasingly refusing and getting very assertive with it." Chris Hobson, the chief executive of NHS providers, said a combination of self-isolation, growing pressures from infections and accumulated staff leave since the start of the pandemic was likely to create problems this summer. Chris Hobson said, "Once Trust is predicting a 20% overall absence rate in 3 weeks resulting in 900 lost operations." He added, "The Delta variant of the coronavirus, now the dominant variant, is 60% more transmissible than the Alpha variant, first identified in Kent. The risk of nosocomial infection, patients and staff acquiring COVID-19 in healthcare settings, is therefore correspondingly higher. Ministers have also been contacted by unions representing shop workers about the threat to their health from the end of mask-wearing rules, with concerns that key workers, often in low-paying jobs, will be the ones placed at greater risk. The World Health Organization, WHO, is becoming increasingly vocal about the dangers of the government's plans. While not referring to the Prime Minister by name, Maria Van Kerkhove, the World Health Organization's COVID-19 technical lead, said that allowing the disease to spread and infect others by not implementing consistently proven actions that prevent infections, reduce the spread of the virus, prevent disease and save lives is simply immoral, unethical, and non-scientific.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 41 meters, 7410 kilohertz for Indian subcontinent, and FM. 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. First and foremost, we would like to send our condolences to the Imam of the time, Imam al-Sahib al-Asr wal-Zaman, and to the followers of the Imam alayhi salam, and to all of mankind essentially on this the death anniversary, or the reported death anniversary of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, the ninth holy Imam, the youngest of the Imams. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of this Imam, to hasten the reappearance of our Mawla Imam al-Sahib al-Asr wal-Zaman, and also to grant us the opportunity to visit the resting place of the Imam in Baghdad, in Kazamiya. And by doing so, we also get the privilege of visiting his grandfather, Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam, Bab al-Hawaij. So this being the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Jawad alayhi salam, it was seen fit to mention a very beautiful tradition from the Imam alayhi salam himself. The tradition is, in terms of the literal meaning of it, quite clear. But what it actually entails in reality is something completely different. Do we actually understand what the Imam is trying to say here? But it does show the interconnected relationship between actions and our own lives. That if we do certain things, certain results will occur. Again, as we know, the world is based on the principle of causality. And at times, not always, that when we do something that is seen to be metaphysical, it does obviously then have a physical consequence, and vice versa. So in this tradition, the Imam alayhi salam says that the coming or the arriving of a person's death is more prevalent in terms of his sins and his acts of disobedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the arriving of his natural, or that the time of his death, bil ajal, any the time of his death. Right? So this is one of the things, that because of your sins, death will come to you quicker than the time that is ordained for you. So again, we see this relationship. And the second part, the Imam says that, and by means of the goodness and good acts that a person does in his life, it is far better than a long life that has no benefit or has no results in it. So here we see two things, that living a good life, even if it's short, must be equivalent with good deeds. And even living a long life, right, it has no benefit if no good deeds are there. And even then, the death that is ordained to us will come faster with the result of our own actions, our own misdeeds, evil deeds, and sins that we perform in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, until our next episode, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio, with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Om.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
The Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, imagine a terrorist group which has been operating for decades, killing tens of thousands of people of various nationalities. Iranians, Iraqis, Americans, and others have all fallen victim to the Mujahideen Haq organization, the MKO, also known